April 13th, 2012. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Jeff Robbins back with Lullabot Podcast number 102.
It's a fine number.
It is. It's fine. We got to 100 and it felt very triumphant, and now, you know, just keeps going. But, you know, 102 is good.
That's the problem with anniversaries, is they get longer, you know, you have to start waiting for prime numbers or, like, big, evenly divisible numbers for it to be really impressive.
I suppose
so. No, I think you should start counting it in a different base.
Yes!
is 102 something fabulous in binary or something?
Who knows?
Maybe trinary. It's something significant. I'm Jeff Robbins. I think I mentioned that already. And I'm here with several members of the Lullabot team, including...
Jeff Eaton.
And?
Joe Schindler.
And?
Sally Young.
And also?
Kyle Hoffmeyer.
Thanks, everybody. We're going to talk about, sort of the idea of the podcast. We, you know, for anybody that's listening to this podcast, we can veer off topic a little bit at times, but we're here to talk about the DrupalCon Denver. Do a little wrap-up. Maybe for people who didn't get to Denver, to give you a little taste of Denver. I'm not quite sure what the taste of Denver is.
Omelets.
Prairie oysters or something, right? If you did go to Denver, you know, maybe you didn't get to see everything or whatever. So maybe a little chance to relive it. Once again, let's cover a little bit of news first, a little bit of sort of non-DrupalCon stuff that's happened in the recent past. Goodness, where should we start?
April Fools.
You want to start with April Fools?
I don't know. It looms large. Because we were, after all, acquired.
Yes, yes. This week's podcast is sponsored by Blue Marine Synergistics, the most faceless...
Synergistical,
enterprise-empowered, logistical, e-business efficiency company in Drupal. You can find out more about Blue Marine Synergistics at bluemarinesynergistics.com.
This was our April Fool's joke. We just need to put that out there.
it was
a little bit awkward waking up on that morning and realizing that I had been acquired without even knowing that there was a discussion about such a thing.
Eaton, yeah. You knew, but I think there were other people on the podcast didn't know, right? Is that right?
Yeah. I basically was in the Google Doc early just trying to work words like social graph into the press release as much as possible.
I don't know that phrase actually get in there. I'm not sure. Yes. So it was a sort of a joint effort. All of the companies listed actually helped write this, I don't know, would you call it a press release? Which just gets a little bit more and more ridiculous the further you get through it. Anybody that missed that, bluemarinesynergistics.com. I don't know. It was funny to us. I wonder, you know, it was this April, about halfway through April Fool's Day, it sort of occurred to me, it's like, is this even funny at all to anyone outside of the Drupal
MC
community?
Hammer replied, it was funny.
It did get a little, it got a little real at that moment. So, goodness, let's see. So we also have, the hashtag for discussion of Blue Marine Synergistics, was BS, Blue Marine Synergistics for the number four, like Prince would write it, Drupal. BS for Drupal. And we also got the BS for Drupal Twitter account. And several people had access to that Twitter account and were tweeting out various things. And at one point, someone, I still haven't exactly confirmed who it was that tweeted
it. That way.
probably best not to know. Tweeted that MC Hammer was going to be the CFO of Blue Marine Synergistics, which is sort of funny because MC Hammer, not known for managing his money very well, as the chief financial officer, could be problematic. And of course, what perhaps hadn't been thought out is that MC Hammer actually is very interested right now in internet startups, and has actually sort of emerged in the past year or so. You know, is kind of like, he was spokesperson for something. Maybe it was like Justin Timberlake with MySpace, and MC Hammer thought maybe he'd kind of get in there somehow and stuff. And so he tweeted back to us, basically expressing interest in the position and wanting to know more about the company, at which point I can only speak for myself, but I sort of froze in my boots. It was like, oh, goodness, I don't really have a whole lot of interest in, like, you know, making fun of MC Hammer. It was sort of silly up until now, but now it's sort of, as I say, got real with MC Hammer. I don't know that anyone directly replied to him, but within a couple hours, he realized it was an April Fool's joke and had deleted his tweet. So we don't have a tweet to link to, but trust us when we say MC Hammer interested in Blue Marine Synergistics.
Trust us when we explain to you how our April Fool's joke went.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's also actual news.
Yeah. So there's that. Blue Drop Awards. So the last podcast, Podcast 101, we did an interview with Ben Finkley, who in fact, as he mentioned on the podcast, he was going to do, ran the Blue Drop Awards, and they happened. Anybody want to run down the winners? We actually are in there a couple times. We got some sites we worked on. Anybody? Eaton, you want to run down the winners? Do you have a list?
Okay, sure. I was pulling open the list as we spoke.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
The best enterprise website built with Drupal was energy.gov, which I actually thought was pretty cool because, I think inside of the development community, you know, things that are preceded with the word enterprise can sort of be regarded as like, oh, I'm going to be stuck on an insanely boring, you know, intranet or something like that. But energy.gov is actually a pretty cool site, and it's about, you know, getting lots of really cool information out to the public, from government agencies and stuff like that. So I mean, it's enterprise, so I think it's a really cool site, and it also kind of expands the concept of like what enterprise means for a lot of devs who think that just means I have to work with Oracle. Best business website built with Drupal was Shunra. Shunra.com.
What were we saying before the podcast?
Not She-Ra.
Confused with She-Ra, who is, yes, He-Man's sister? Lover?
I believe sister.
Girlfriend?
The canon is complex.
What is the relationship between He-Man and She-Ra?
It's more of a season 2 co-branding thing.
Okay.
They're technically from, I think, linked but parallel universes.
Split off. More appeal for in the female.
Yeah.
The female He-Man.
I can actually link you to the Wikipedia article, but
And Shunra now, not to be confused, Shunra does not play into the He-Man mythology at all.
In no way whatsoever.
Continue on.
Yes. They basically do like networking related stuff and performance engineering, and their website runs on Drupal, and so it ended up winning the Blue Drop Awards. Best marketplace website, and we're pretty proud of this one, Safari Books Online. That was one that Lullabot ended up building a little while ago. If you haven't used Safari Books, it's basically like the O'Reilly and Associates online all-you-can-eat buffet of O'Reilly and A-Press. I mean, books by a bunch of different technical publishers. So you can like subscribe to it, and some organizations, like instead of trying to stock like a company library, will get like an organization subscription to Safari Books. It's really cool. And we ended up working with them and building the front end website to that. Not the one that actually stores all the books, but the one where people go to and find out about the service and, you know, can search through and find stuff they're interested in. It's a lot of fun. And I believe that design was actually like fully responsive too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We've been doing a lot of responsive design stuff recently. So if you make your browser more narrow, it gets more interesting.
More narrower equals more interesting.
Well, you know, it's interesting how it responds. It's yeah. Shall we say responsive?
The best social website was allplayers.com. It's a social website, but it lets like different people build up their own like little micro sites and use organic groups to manage a bunch of stuff going on inside of it. It's a really interesting concept, and it's kind of cool how a lot of really cool, like, you know, startup-y, you know, social web type stuff can use some of the tools that have been out there in the Drupal world for quite a few years, sort of as the baseline building blocks. Like OG, man, we've had OG for quite some time, haven't we?
Organic groups.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Little bit of Drupal in crowd shorthand, but yes, the organic groups module. It basically lets you create little like membership groups inside of a website that people can join and stuff like that. The best nonprofit education website was the Forging Industry Association. This is one of the things that I find fascinating. It's like Drupal grows and continues to, and like the reach of the community continues to expand. There's so many industries that you would go, oh, that's right. You know, what we're used to hearing about is like all the different variations of like tech crunch oriented startups in, you know, the web world. But it turns out there's like an entire universe of people like making things out of metal and like running schools and stuff like that. They have nothing to do with that, but they need websites and they need really good websites. But the Forging Industry Association, they run their website on Drupal and they forge things. That's all I got. They forge things out of metal. I just think that's awesome and hardcore. The best media website was Grammy.com, which, woo-hoo! Again, pretty stoked about. This has like been the third year that we've been doing Grammy.com, and the third year that it hasn't crashed. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah,
don't want to jinx it.
I know, but every year we're hesitant to get confident about it, but doing all right.
It's starting to become a pattern.
I know. Yep.
The best personal website built with Drupal was thetrek.co.za. Somebody who was talking about like a project that they did with, you know, like lots of walking and hiking and trekking, and it's called The Trek. So pretty cool. I'm going to be honest, I'm a little baffled by the name of this category, but the best interesting website built with Drupal was responsivedesign.ca, which is a really cool site about responsive design and, you know, how to do responsive design. And the site is, in fact, responsive.
Is it interesting?
It is.
As it gets narrower.
this is
does what it says.
What makes a website interesting?
Yeah, that's the part that I thought was interesting.
Well, Ben Finkley actually talks about the name of this category on the previous podcast, so you can go back and listen. But yes, they basically ran out of names for categories.
But yeah,
well, they definitely came up with an interesting one.
And then I think site of the year was iMaginations Incorporated. This was an interesting one because apparently it was built by a Drupal shop that it's one of the up and comers around here by Unleashed Technologies, I think. It launched maybe about a year or so ago, but I think it's been interesting that even represented in the winners of the Blue Drop Awards are sites and, you know, shops that are building websites and stuff that aren't necessarily like the old hands that have been around in the Drupal world for eons. So it's, the world is getting large enough that there are lots of things going on in Drupal out there that aren't necessarily on the radar of the like the old school devs who hang out in IRC. So interesting times.
And I think that was part of the intent of the whole thing too, is
attention
to the fact that there's a lot of people doing this now and doing interesting things with it. It's not, you know, we're not just rebuilding the same websites over and over. There's a lot of people coming up with new ideas, a lot of shops that we maybe don't know of, but giving them a chance to sort of show off their work too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Cool. What else? Drupalize Me. We launched some new features recently.
Yesterday.
Yeah. That's recent.
Yeah. Drupalize Me added a couple of big changes. The biggest one probably being the ability to add a series to your queue. So in Drupalize Me, you've got a queue and you can add videos to it. Come back, watch them later. They're in your queue. But one of our most common feature requests was the ability to add an entire series to your queue. So now you can do something like add the entire module development series to your queue. It's sort of the equivalent to like on Netflix where you can add an entire TV show to your queue, not just an individual episode. So that's pretty awesome. And along with that, the ability to add these series to your queue meant we had to have a way for people to go and actually view a series page that listed all of the episodes, if you will, within a series. So we've now got series pages. And one of the things that I think is super cool on the series page is you can see a list of all of the videos that are in that series, and they've got little progress indicators for each one that shows how much of that video you've watched, and a little play button next to the video name. So you can say, oh, I've watched half of the overview of the Devel module video. And if you click the play button, it'll take you to that video and resume from where you left off last time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and it'll resume on your Roku box and on your we've got mobile apps for iOS and Android, and it's pretty cool. There's been a lot of development on Drupalize Me probably since the last time we checked in with it on the podcast. If you haven't looked at Drupalize Me recently, go check it out. Drupalize.me.
They're also branching out into hugging.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
that was the
other day. On April 1st, Joe's How to Give a Hug video went up.
I'm going to be honest and say I'm not sure how I feel about having a video of me teaching how to give hugs out on the internet, open for everyone. I recorded it originally when we had brought on a couple new people, and I was like, oh, this will be funny, and posted it on the company intranet, and like, yep, here's your introduction to Lullabot, here's what we're all about. And then it got turned into a video and put on Drupalize Me, and now people send me lots of information about hugging via Twitter, and it's interesting.
Well, a friend of mine runs a website called Hug Nation, and does like a weekly live hugging video pod. It's not even a podcast kind of but thing. But yes, it does sort of become a whole way of life, Joe.
I ended up registering the domain name certifiedtohug.com. So sort of a play on the certified to rock. Yeah, I need to figure out what to do with it, but I've got some ideas percolating.
It'll be interesting to see how that will sort of affect your, you know, as you go to particularly Drupal events, meetups, and stuff like that, you know.
I got tripped over with that at DrupalCon. I went up to the Linode guys. I was like, hey, I love you guys. Can I have a hug? And they recoiled and said, do you want a t-shirt? Okay.
Well, it actually turns out there was just one guy. And when the other guys from Linode came back to the booth, he said, I don't know, somebody from Lullabot was here and they wanted to give me a hug. And I don't know, I you know, and they were like, what? You didn't? And then I don't know if you follow this part, but then they came over to the Lullabot booth and said, like, we want to apologize. Like, we shouldn't have, no one from our company should have rejected a hug. And then there was a lot of hugging, and it was all.
And later, en route to one of the after parties after the conference, we ended up running into them on the street and everyone hugged.
Yeah. So, anyways,
they run towards each other in slow motion.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, anyways, Joe's the hugging guy now. Everybody hug Joe whenever you see him.
Oh boy, here we go.
There's nothing to be embarrassed, Joe. You probably changed some people's lives. I know that my marriage is much better now because of the hugging video. So I'm serious. It wasn't just an educational thing. It was really just a life changing thing for me. So I do appreciate that hug video.
I'm glad I could help.
Yes.
Good stuff. DrupalCon. Let's talk about DrupalCon. Let's see. I mean, maybe we could start with sort of our experience at DrupalCon. I know I didn't get to go to many sessions. Lullabot actually had two booths of sorts. We had the Lullabot booth at the trade show. We had a big booth, and we had couches, and we had a big red backdrop and a big, branding kind of screen thing that we had up, and we were giving away t-shirts, and it was lots of fun. We also had a booth for Drupalize Me, where Kyle and Joe, you guys sort of were over there a lot, doing the Drupalize Me thing, and we were giving away Roku boxes when people got subscriptions, and
we also had pony stickers, glittery pony stickers, which is pretty hilarious because they started out as like sort of an internal joke, like, haha, wouldn't it be funny if we had My Little Pony themed stickers with Drupal Eyes Me on it? And I'm pretty sure all of us were like, yeah, that would be funny, but stupid. So then we made them. And then we thought, what if we put glitter on them? And then we discovered that we could put glitter on them. So then we made them with glitter. It turns out they were a pretty big hit.
It was pretty
people
awesome.
Were excited
do you
about
do you want to explain pony what the relationship between ponies and My Little Pony and Drupal Eyes Me is?
Yeah. it stems from we needed to come up with a naming convention for our sprints. So we work on new iterations of Drupal Eyes Me based on like 2-week sprints, basically. And we wanted to come up with names for them other than like the next sprint. Sprint number 27. it was getting a little bit boring. And so I did some evaluation of possible naming schemes for our sprints. And originally I was going to go with Care Bears, but I sort of realized there weren't really enough Care Bears once I started researching Care Bears, and we were kind of limiting ourselves on how many sprints we could have. So then I looked into My Little Pony, and it turns out there's a lot of My Little Ponies, and they're actually all really well documented too, like each character and what their personality traits are. So now all of our sprints are named after My Little Pony characters, and it's hilarious because I'm pretty sure Addison spends time going through the list of My Little Pony characters and finding one with a description that sort of matches what we're trying to accomplish for each sprint. It was like a joke the very first time it came up, and it just keeps growing.
Yeah.
Growing.
And from the perspective of the rest of the company, you know, we get these little updates like, we launched Rainbow Bright yesterday, so we're all very happy about that.
Rainbow Dash.
Okay. Rainbow Dash.
Totally different continuity.
Rainbow Bright. I don't know. Anyways. But yes, they all have fascinating and sparkly names.
Our next one, in case you want to try to guess at what the feature set might be, is cotton candy. I'll just leave it at that.
Right on. There were also, would you call them skits at the Drupal Eyes Me booth? There was Drupal Eyes Me Live, which happened at the Drupal Eyes Me booth.
With puppets and lumberjacks.
Kyle, Joe, you guys want to make an attempt to explain? Kyle, you're like, we both participated, and I won't even try to explain.
Notice it did get silent at that moment. There's a reason for that.
Some embarrassment. Kyle, there was a moment where you were standing up there wearing, if I remember correctly, just your boxer shorts.
Yes, there was that moment. It's not a proud moment. It's not a moment I'll probably ever share again. But, you know, when you have to stand in front of a crowd and it's one of your first times having to do it, there's nothing better than doing it in your boxers, I guess.
That's what they say. They say to imagine yourself in your underwear, right?
Sure.
I think you're supposed to imagine everyone in the crowd.
You're supposed to, but think about that. I mean, you'll just start laughing. So, I mean... If you reverse it, then they're uncomfortable, so you don't have to be uncomfortable. It actually kind of worked out.
Anyways, so
genius.
So we did that. Kyle, you also recorded a whole bunch of Drupal Voices podcasts, which will go up over the next, period of time. How many of those should people be looking forward to?
Well, yeah, I got to do that. I was first time doing that, so it was a good time. Also, my first DrupalCon, so I had a great experience at this. Never been to one, and it was pretty sweet. And doing the Drupal Voices made it even more fun because I got to start learning a lot of the people in the Drupal community. I didn't get as many as I was hoping. I did get quite a bit. Right now, I've got about 15 ready to go. We actually just set up a schedule. We will air one tomorrow, which tomorrow will be April 13th. So, and then from there on, for the next month or so, we're going to do two a week, one on Tuesday and one on Thursday. Another plan we have is actually I'm going to try to hound some other people down that I just couldn't get a hold of while I was there and do some Skype Drupal Voices. So we'll be able to add to the ones in the can. So we'll try to keep it moving.
Cool. And by in the can, he means already the ones that are recorded.
Correct.
Actually, technically, by the time this podcast goes live, one of those Drupal Voices recordings should be live. Larry Garfield talking about Symfony in Drupal 8.
Yeah. Cool. All right. What else? What else happened at DrupalCon? Apparently,
there were a bunch of sessions.
Do you want to talk about some of those?
For those of us that actually had a chance to go to some of them. I didn't get to go to that many of them, but I went to a handful, and maybe we could just each go like talk about what were your favorite sessions. I think my favorite one, and I'm totally going to butcher the name, but it was something like changing the wheels at 60 miles per hour was the title of the session, and it was about the Martha Stewart migration and replatforming, which despite the fact that I work with a bunch of people that helped on that project, I had nothing to do with it, and it was really interesting to hear what they were doing and how they all did it and get the perspective of all the different people involved. So they had like a panel of maybe like six people that worked on the project sitting up in the front of the room, and each one that had a different role in the project, like a project manager and the themer and the person in charge of migration and the person in charge of, you know, making sure that everybody else is happy and that kind of stuff. And so it was interesting to see how the project went from each of their perspectives. And I liked it because they covered a lot of information in a short period of time. But in each thing that they talked about, it was like just enough depth that it kind of got you interested in thinking about, you know, the migration module and how that works and how I might want to use that for future projects. They talked a bit about just sort of how do you plan for the migration of something on that scale, which was interesting too. That was definitely my favorite of the sessions that I attended.
Anybody else want to toss out some highlight sessions?
I really, really actually enjoyed catching some of Frank Fabrero of Phase 2 and James Walker's session talking about Drupal apps. Like, I know that like over the last couple of DrupalCons, there's been a lot of talk about the concept of apps for Drupal and the App Store. And I think there's been a lot of confusion over what that actually means. And Phase 2 is actually one of the companies that is putting out Drupal distros that actually use the App Store model. And I think one of the things that was really interesting is that it helped sort of alleviate a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about that. They're not talking about setting up like an Apple, you know, iTunes store, iPhone store type thing where like you log in and you pay to get a module or something like that. It's more just setting up the idea of a distro having a central repository where new discrete chunks of functionality can be pre-built and made available for people to pull down that are like very, very tailored for that distro. And it's actually built on top of features. An app in that model is really just like basically a feature module that has extra metadata and implements some extra hooks to be able to phone home for updates and stuff like that. I think it's definitely not for everybody, but there are certain areas where that kind of model makes a lot of sense, and their session really helped clarify some of the questions that had been there about it. There were tons and tons of really interesting core conversations, too, about some of the changes that are coming in Drupal 8, the progress that's being made by the configuration management initiative that Greg Dunlap is heading is really, really encouraging. And there's a lot of Yeah, there's some very interesting sessions on the work that's going on now too. I think putting panels in core is probably overstating it a little bit, but essentially putting like the panels model of like laying out a page from like a rendering perspective, baking that into Drupal 8 core. The user interface side of it is still something that's, you know, there's tons of work being done on, but like that looks like it's a real thing.
Wow. Interesting. Anybody else? Sally? Did you go to any interesting sessions?
I was hallway tracking a lot. But yeah, I was excited by Greg Dunlap's configuration stuff as well. Hopefully that's going to make everyone's life a lot easier. So that was really good to see. I really enjoyed Matt Westgate's talk. Oddly, because it was about a lot of things that Lullabot do. And, you know, being a Lullabot, I get to see that every day, which is nice. But it was really good seeing this whole talk about, you know, how the company works and, you know, where it started from and where it's going and how you guys see everything working. It's pretty inspiring, actually. I love you guys.
Jeff Eaton, you had also had a very popular talk, big room packed full of people.
Taming the burrito.
is that what you called the session?
Yes, tame the burrito, so mastering Drupal's five layers of cheesy goodness.
This further proves that people will pretty much show up to any of Jeff Eaton's sessions, no matter what it's called. It's going to be fascinating, and you can pretty much just call it whatever you want.
At least be pictures of kittens.
Yeah, and burritos, apparently. What are the five layers of the burrito? I have to say, I came to see your session, so I'm surprised that I didn't know, but go ahead.
Well, it's actually based on a lot of conversations that have been going on in the Drupal community for a while, and a blog post that was written that went up on lullabot.com a while back about some of the Drupal 8 discussions that were going on. The five layers are basically like the very, very low end, like the pure web framework stuff that if you want to make web things, you need this much functionality, regardless of whether it's like Drupal or, you know, Django or Joomla or whatever. There's certain services like listening for incoming web requests or, you know, accessing files that have been uploaded and talking to a database. There's just that low-level stuff that you need that isn't even very Drupal-y. Then on top of that, there's sort of Drupal-y stuff like nodes and views and stuff like that that you essentially build and construct website functionality out of. Then the third level in the middle is like the site building tools that we have, like the administrative tools that we use when we're actually in the process of constructing a page. Then on top of that, there's like functionality that end users of the site would access, whether it's like a blog or a wiki or even like moderating tools that you built using views, bulk operations, and stuff like that. And then at the very top level, there's like final shipping products like Drupalize Me or Open Atrium or something like that. Basically a finished product that's been built out with Drupal. And sort of the idea of it was understanding how those different layers interact with each other and how crossing over those layers, like a particular module that, say, dabbles in modifying the way each one of those layers works, is really hard to troubleshoot and really hard to reuse because it cuts across a lot of different boundaries. But yeah. And there actually was not as much burrito as the session title would have been implied. That was more just an opening joke.
Right on. And Joe, you also did a session about recurring billing, right?
Correct. I talked about a lot of the lessons that we've learned from building Drupalize Me related to trying to do recurring billing within Drupal. Turns out it's a fairly challenging thing to do.
And Drupalize Me and reused in Videola as well. These sessions are all online. If you go to denver2012.drupal.org and sort of look up a session, most of the ones, at least that I've clicked through to, have a video up at the top where you can click, and it looks like you can watch people's slides, and I'm guessing hear them talk as well.
They actually got those videos up surprisingly fast this year.
Yeah.
My session was in the last time slot of the second day, so on Wednesday. And by the time I got up Thursday morning, it was posted on The video was posted, and you could go and watch it. And I was quite impressed with that.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Cool. Sessions. What else? So there was a lot of buzz. I mean, Sally, you were talking about just sort of like kind of hanging out in the halls, and I sort of got a lot of feel of the stuff that people were talking about in the halls. I mean, some of it was related to keynote sessions and sort of announcements that were made and stuff like that. But you guys want to talk a little bit about sort of the buzz at DrupalCon this year?
It's kind of crazy how excited everyone is about building new things into Drupal 8. It was a little bit mind-blowing, actually. I think there were so many ideas floating around, and it's really good to meet all those people who were really happy to do them.
What are they excited about?
I'm pretty sure they're going to put Contrib into Drupal 8.
Yeah.
all of Contrib.
That patch has already been posted, I believe.
Yeah. So when you download, so Drupal is now 6 gigabytes to download.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I guess a few months ago everyone was like, throw everything out of core. We don't need these modules. Wait, bring them back. Bring
it's
them
back. It's the large core movement.
Well, the running joke is that I'm at the Symfony project. I'm actually secretly behind the scenes trying to convince their project team to just rename Symfony to Small Core.
Not so, a secret anymore.
So there's a presumption here that we need to explain to people that maybe haven't been keeping up. So there was an announcement that, and I'm probably not the best person to do this, so maybe y'all could correct me, caress my message here. Drupal Core is going to use Symfony in Drupal 8, the Symfony framework?
Already done.
Okay. Well, it's already done, but Drupal 8 hasn't come out yet.
Oh, yeah. It's old news in the fast, crazy-moving world of core development.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what Symfony is, what it's doing, how it works, and what people will need to know about building Drupal sites in Drupal 8 based on this information. Go. Eaton, start.
Okay. I'm terrible at time-boxed explanations. But basically, Symfony is an existing PHP web framework that's a lot like, you know, if you've ever heard of Cake PHP or the Zend framework, it's a framework of that style where it isn't like a shipping application that does something. It's just a bunch of like toolbox pieces that you can use when building your own application out of code. But Symfony was also designed such that all of the different chunks of functionality that it ships with, like one of the Symfony modules is the ability to like put, like get an incoming web request and store all the information about that request that someone made for a page and like carry around the basic request information consistently throughout the like process of building a page. And it's the HTTP request system from Symfony. That's completely isolated from all of the other tools that Symfony ships with. Another one that it has is like basically a framework for having plugins that you can load. In the same way that like Drupal has a module system, Symfony has a plugin system and things like that. So the idea is that Symfony is designed so that you can sort of pick and choose what components you want and just snap them together. So you could build your own system, but say use 2 or 3 of the useful reusable components from Symfony as part of it. You don't have, it's not like we're, quote, just building on top of Symfony. It's like we're picking and choosing different pieces of the Symfony framework that are useful and fit the needs of, you know, the Drupal development team. So it's a big shift for us because it's one of the first times where we've been putting some other project's code at the heart of critical Drupal functionality. Previously, it's always been sort of for like external libraries like XML RPC posting or some, you know, handling or something like that. But this is like really the heart of how Drupal accepts an incoming request for a web page and processes it, that we're going to be using Symfony as part of that. So it's a big change, but it also allows us to work with another open source community and leverage the work that they're doing rather than just purely having to solve those like really low level problems that aren't even unique to Drupal on our own.
Yeah. So, I mean,
wow.
Yeah. Does this affect Drupal APIs and module building? I mean, are we basically, you know, ripping out the core of Drupal core?
Well, that in particular isn't necessarily going to have a huge impact. You know, like the way, I mean, if you were somebody who was like doing deep work on like the bootstrap.inc file and stuff like that inside of Drupal already, then you will see lots and lots of internal changes from like the move to Symfony's HTTP request handler. But there's actually a diminishingly small number of people who really actually, you know, rolled up their sleeves and waded in that deep into the internals of Drupal.
And is it all of Symfony? So it's just part of Symfony is replacing part of Drupal.
Exactly. And that's why like Symfony's heavily modularized approach makes it well suited for this. It's not like we have to say, well, okay, we're pulling in, you know, 800K of code for Symfony, and we're going to be using these two chunks of it. It's we can just say we want the HTTP request handler from Symfony, and we're going to use that.
SYMFONY, not to be confused with the more conventional spelling.
Exactly.
It is, you know, open source software, after all, has to have some sort of name that people can't quite spell right.
It does make it easier to Google for Symfony, though.
Certainly, if you use the right spelling, unless, of course, you search for Symfony, in which case you might find, you know, orchestras.
Yes.
Cool. Yes, certainly a lot of buzz around that.
I think it's nice because it'll work the other way as well. So you'll be able to integrate your Symfony applications into Drupal a little bit easier.
So
I worked on this module for Drupal, which does Amazon file system stuff, and I took a lot of inspiration from that, from the Zend framework implementation of it. So from that point of view, it'd be really nice to be able to just grab components from other frameworks and pull them into Drupal without doing a huge amount of legwork. So I'm looking forward to being able to use that.
Interesting. Cool. Any other sort of reports from DrupalCon?
I don't want this to be controversial. Oh, who am I kidding? I want this to be controversial. But I think it's going to be there's way beyond the Symfony thing. There's a lot of talk going on about how much is changing in Drupal 8, which is fascinating because, like, if you went back like a year and a half ago, everyone was talking about how, man, Drupal 8, man, Drupal 7 was just crazy. We need to just, you know, clean up some bugs and get Drupal 8 out nice and solid. And like a year and a half later, we're replacing all the things. There's a lot of really cool stuff going on in terms of developing new features and replacing old crufty parts of Drupal's, you know, internals. But it's very ambitious too. Drupal 8 is a really ambitious, ambitious release.
About Drupal 7.
Yeah, we're going to be baking in web services, so like you can do RESTful web APIs at the heart of Drupal, and the layout model that we've all been used to of like, you know, there's regions and you stick blocks in regions and they apply to the entire website unless you set up crazy rules and stuff like that. That's being, like, there's now work being done on a new panels style, like, blocks the next generation system where you have layouts and they get pieces of context and, like, even the main central content on a given page is just a thing that you put there. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and it's very, very interesting.
There's been a lot of discussion recently about drastic updates to or just a complete replacement of the theming layer in Drupal. So instead of using PHP template, replacing it with a new system. And I think in an attempt to solve a lot of the probably underlying problems, not necessarily PHP template specific things, but just the complexity of the render API and these massive nested arrays and how much programming people have to learn in order to just print out simple variables and trying to deal with some of the security issues related to that. And it's just another, like, oh yeah, by the way, we might replace the entire theming layer while we're at it. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, we should probably dedicate a whole podcast to talking about Drupal 8, you know, as we get a little further into the Drupal 8 cycle and sort of see where some of these discussions are sorting.
Well, early next year is the code freeze.
Okay. All of these, you know, I'll believe it when I see it with all of these things.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
But I will say, at least the configuration management initiative and some of the like plugin related stuff and the HTTP loader, a lot of those like not quite as sexy on the surface, but very important changes, they are making really good progress.
Cool. Right on. Any other sort of like general thoughts? I'm curious, maybe, I mean, Kyle, this was your first DrupalCon. I mean, we're getting like really into this kind of like deep stuff, you know, Drupal 8 and the sessions and stuff like that. But I'm sort of curious, like, I don't know, just sort of, what struck you about DrupalCon? I mean, especially for those of us who've been going there year after year, I'm sort of curious to hear it from a new person's perspective.
I think the part that I thought was the coolest about it, I don't know how to say this, not to offend people, but normally when you think of something like that, or if you come at it from the outside, it's just like a bunch of nerds and dorks and all this coming together.
Let us know when you're going to say something offensive.
Okay, good. But the coolest part is everyone knows how to have fun. Everyone knows how to party. Everyone seemed to just love each other. I mean, it seemed like a very tight group of people, even though it was a massive amount of people. And I just thought that part of it was really amazing and pretty cool. And I'm glad to have been part of it and can't wait till my next one. I did a lot of walking around too. And a lot of the buzz was, and I didn't understand it because I'd never been to one before, but a lot of people were kind of blown away at this one on how organized it was. So a lot of people were talking about that, kind of like Joe mentioned how quickly his video came out. Everyone was just pretty blown away about how well it was put together.
Yeah. It felt good. It feels a little bit more like, I don't know, both DrupalCon and the Drupal community is kind of growing up a little, kind of getting into the next stage. So before I got into Drupal, I was in a band and did that for a living. And there was this sort of funny thing where, like, you know, you play shows with other bands, you know, we were from Boston, you play other shows with other bands in Boston, and you don't really quite know them, and you're not quite sure if you like them or something like that. And then you play another show with them, you know, a year later, and then you kind of lose touch, and like 5 years later, you run into them, and it's like old friends. Like, you never really knew them that well, but like, there's just this like, hey, you guys, I remember you guys from 5 years ago. And I feel like that there's sort of that kind of thing happening with Drupal as well. Like, it's people that didn't quite, you know, they didn't quite know each other, and you've been going to DrupalCon year after year, and there's, you know, companies and people who are doing things, and I feel like that there's just sort of there's kind of getting to be this camaraderie, and it's an open camaraderie. It's not like it's not clicky. I mean, there's probably some clicky kinds of stuff that happens as well, but you know, in general, it's, I don't know, it feels like people are sort of appreciative that we've kind of been through all of this together over time.
Yeah, when I showed up, I didn't know if there were special handshakes. I didn't know if it was going to happen. Right. But, I mean, I never thought I was going to leave the event with the idea of ponies, mustaches, burritos, beer, and high fives and hugs. So, I mean, it turned out great for me. So,
so let's talk about mustaches for a minute. So,
speaking of mustaches.
So, for the... basically every DrupalCon since every Drupal US DrupalCon or North American DrupalCon since DC, Lullabot has thrown a party, and they've been notable parties over time.
No, also for floppy disk invitations
for various reasons. Yes, our invitations have been floppy disks that we print up and hand out to people and watch them look at us quizzically as they say, I don't think I can read this, and we go, yes you can, it's got text on it, just read it. It says we're having a party and here's where it is. And so anyways, but yes, so and we, you know, try and find sort of something to latch onto with each party. Last year in Chicago, we had a fashion show. Also, my band played. This year, in an effort to try and find a theme for our party, we decided on Jeff Eaton. Jeff Eaton, yes, Jeff Eaton, who's right here on the podcast right now, was the theme for our party.
I just need to let my wife know that I did not come up with that idea.
Yeah, how did this evolve? Sally, you were involved in this.
Jeff went on vacation.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think this is what happened.
Yes. I actually have an official press release from EatonCon that might shed some light on it, actually. Oh, God. I think it's fair to say that we all know at least one Eaton in the world. So when I heard about the plight of Eatons, I really wanted to give something back. At EatonCon, we care for thousands of Eatons who have given all they can to their owners. But the sad truth is, we're having to help more and more neglected Eatons all over the world. And without our help, we can't be there for them all to listen to the huge number of presentations they produce each year. I'm happy to say, thanks to the EatonCon fundraiser 2012, we've saved at least one Eaton this year.
I went and I didn't realize it was a benefit.
Eaton went on holiday and it just popped into my head. And then Greg Dunlap, Hey Rocker, registered EatonCon.com, and it pretty much spiraled out of control from
there. Yeah. So we were, meanwhile, we were organizing our party and EatonCon.com was out there and it was like, what is that? And it wasn't a fully formed concept. And we said, well, let's just throw a party and call it EatonCon. And in fact, that happened. And there were various, Jeff Eaton is kind of known for certain things, some of which, despite him, he's known for liking bacon, liking whiskey, liking gummy things, gummy foods, and mustaches. Because
I do actually own the mustachefactory.net.
Mustache. Is it the mustachefactory.net?
No. I'm sorry. Just
mustachefactory.net.
It doesn't actually do much.
It's one of these things where you initially say, I can't believe that's available, .net. And you realize after you register it and set up a website, it's like, oh, actually, no, I'm not.
We could do an entire podcast about all the ridiculous domain names owned by Lullabot employees.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, so pictures, you can find pictures, flickr.com/groups/lullabot/pool. Kyle and I took a bazillion pictures of people with mustaches on and various things at the party, and you can find them there. God, there's just pages
I felt kind
and
of
pages.
Bad because, like, downtown Denver was just sort of littered with fake mustaches.
It really was.
Those were there beforehand.
Okay. I feel better.
Yeah, not us. Yeah. In case anyone from the city of Denver is listening, it wasn't us. They were pre-existing mustaches.
I think the t-shirts were my favorite part.
They had
this fake Che Guevara logo, but actually with Eaton's face. And then instead of a star on his hat, there was a little kitten. It was amazing.
So, what can we tell people who are planning to go to the next DrupalCon? Where are future DrupalCons happening, my friends?
Munich.
Munich, which is in Germany.
Yes. That's coming up soon.
August.
Right on.
And then there's Portland.
Is there another one?
This year at the closing ceremonies in Denver, they announced that there's going to be one in South America, which I think the announcement was that it's going to be in December in São Paulo in Brazil, which is exciting, I think. It'll be interesting to see how that works out now with sort of three big conferences and how many people end up attending them and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So we don't know when Brazil, there hasn't been set, a date has not yet been set for.
I think it's in December.
Okay.
I'm going to look this up and verify.
I did a Google search for DrupalCon Brazil and I'm finding sort of mentions of things, but not like an official website or anything.
December 6th through the 8th.
Great.
Yes, it's Sao Paulo 2012.drupal.org.
Spell that.
Paulo.
Sao Paulo.drupal.org. Is that what you said? 2012.
This is the most Anglo-Saxon.
That picture makes it look a little bit grim.
Hold on. Sao Paulo. No. Say it again. Say the URL. I typed it in and I didn't get it. So people who are listening didn't get it either.
It's Sao Paulo 2012, which is
S-A-O. No, I got it. I forgot the 2012.
S-A-O has that little squiggle over it.
S-A-O-P-A-U-L-O 2012.drupal.org. Hey, look. Oh, cool. The sky.
Yes. Apparently, it's going to be very summery there in Brazil.
Ah, yes. South of the equator and all that.
The clouds also move on the website. It's
That's
a subtle detail, but it works.
They do that in Brazil, too.
True, true. Wow.
Somebody arrived there. I was told the clouds would move here.
Great. Well, anyways, so yes, more DrupalCons to come.
This is actually like the first like non-England. If I remember correctly, I heard that a fair amount of the content is actually also going to be not in English. Which is a pretty cool, I think, first for a DrupalCon.
Yeah, yeah. So for people that don't know, the European DrupalCons have historically been held in English, even if they're in places like France. and I'm guessing Germany will be primarily not Germany itself, but the German DrupalCon in Munich will be primarily, the sessions will be in English as well. Correct?
That is correct.
Right on. So, but Sao Paulo, I don't know, maybe some Portuguese could happen.
There also, my understanding is there's a pretty limited number of tickets that are going to be available for it too. Like it's limited at 500 or 600 tickets. I think it's a bit of an experiment to see, you know, if the Drupal Association helps provide some larger scale event in South America, what does that look like and how's it going to all come together? And I expect that if this one goes well, they'll do it again in the future and maybe open it up to even more people and a larger audience. But I think this first time around is just sort of a toe in the water type of thing.
Yep, it's basically an attempt to start building the infrastructure for like a wider range of international DrupalCons, especially ones that appeal to like, you know, regional communities that aren't necessarily already as tightly plugged into the existing development community, which I think is pretty cool because, I mean, like, well, this was one of the things that we talked about with the Blue Drop Awards, you know, the realization of just how much Drupal stuff is going on out there outside of like the IRC and the core issue queue stuff that I think a lot of the heavy participants see as like the real Drupal world.
Right on. Yeah, I know I've talked to people in Asia, Japan, and Singapore, you know, who've said that, oh, yeah, we've got some Drupal stuff that's taking off here, but we kind of feel isolated, you know, that they kind of wish that more of the Drupal community was sort of supporting them in some way, and yet they're not going to have their conferences in English, especially in some place like Japan. So, cool. Well, it'll be interesting to see how those kinds of things evolve over time. Great. Anybody have any little last thoughts or bits they want to share before we wrap this podcast up?
I'm personally super excited to see like what the next 6 months to a year or so holds. It's going to be a fun ride.
It's been a fascinating ride so far. It seems like every 6 months it's sort of like, wow. So yeah. Yeah. Cool. Great. Now Eaton, we had a bacon infused whiskey at the party. Did you
that
get to take some of that home
I
with
did.
You?
I had a glass. I did not in fact take any home. I try not to fly around with quantities of whiskey.
Well,
it just feels like it's setting a precedent.
I'll just add here that Eaton snuck into my luggage this little pack. Was it like a plastic packet of whiskey from Canada in case of emergencies, hoping I'd get caught at the security gate going, "Excuse me, Miss Young, could you please tell me what this is?"
Why do you have a Capri Sun packet of whiskey?
I'm not sure if that's funny or not. Certainly the
it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, great.
Bolivot, company that cares.
Yeah. the company that gets each other arrested. Mm. And hugging to the point of arrest, getting arrested. There you go. On that note,
would be awkward.
Are those on our now hiring page?
Oh dear.
Technically, we do have an official policy document now. So
yeah, yes. No hugs longer than 3 seconds, folks. Is that right, Joe?
That seems like a good three length for a hug.
Three seconds is about right. All right, great. All right. Well, on that note, thanks everyone, and we'll call that a podcast, and we'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.